Ezekiel, I'll give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you. When I saw that was the video planned for this week, courtesy of NZBMS, in light of the message that I'm preparing, I was blown away, actually. God is speaking. God is speaking. I heard a great reflection from President Jimmy Carter of this past week on the Stephen Colbert Show. He was asked if he prayed for the existing president. And Jimmy Carter said, yes. Stephen Colbert then asked, well, what do you pray for? To which the 83-year-old ex-president basically replied that the current president won't blow up the world. Strangely, the interviewer then said, and does God answer your prayers? Now I thought, the obvious answer would have been, well, we're still here, aren't we? Instead, President Jimmy Carter, he replied with a response that his pastor had said to him about around prayer some years previous. He said, God answers prayers in three ways. Yes, no, and you've got to be kidding. The way I've heard this is God will answer yes, no, and wait. Have you sat in the place of waiting? Waiting for God to come through. Why doesn't our request get answered immediately? Why does God make us wait? Well, this month we are focusing our Baptist Missions Month of Prayer and Self-Denial. And it coincides beautifully with the Christian calendar, because this is the month that leads to Pentecost. So we've just had Easter, and Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes. And it was about a month between that. And Jesus was present for about 3 weeks of that month, and then for a week he wasn't. It's the period that sits between the resurrection of Christ and the amazing encounters of over 500 people who saw him alive again. Then his ascension, going up into the clouds, into heaven. Between this time and when God comes, not in the form of a man, but in the power of the Spirit. Jesus said, it's better if I go. God, no longer restricted in the form of a human body. The limitations of his own humanity and his own engagements with us, but rather released in all his freedom to move as the wind does, going and coming in ways that people cannot discern. This is the time that the disciples were now entering. Jesus had gone, and he said to them, wait. For 10 days the disciples waited, then the Holy Spirit fell. Most people see this period of time that the disciples didn't do anything of significance. They drew lots to choose Matthias as the replacement for Judas. But we never hear any more of this person, so I don't know how well that panned out or if it was a particularly good idea. So not a lot of memorable or significant things happened over that 10 days. But I want to suggest to you that they did do something of supreme significance. Daily, they would have done this. Because when Jesus had them eat together before he was crucified, he said, whenever you meet together, drink this cup, break this bread, remember me, he says. I think they would have been remembering Christ. I think daily they would have prayed. Let's do that now. Umeshi Daka. Holy Spirit, in one sense, we don't have to wait for you. you are already here. But that we recognize that it is often us that need to wait, waiting for us to catch up with you. For you constantly stand in the presence of the Father, mediating through Christ on our behalf. We do that now, Lord. We pause. We wait. We seek to align ourselves with you. Lord, for each person here this morning, would you meet with them as they wait, waiting for a closer sense of your presence, waiting for a breakthrough in their life, waiting for your words to bring life. Amen. Well, have you ever laid out a fleece, seeking to discern what the Spirit is saying and where He is leading? When I was seeking to discern what God was leading me into around entering the ministry, I put out a fleece. Let me show you a picture. This is the fleece that I put out. A boat and a house. I was trying to work out, by the way, I told you that my house was currently being built by Jason. This is my current house that Jason's building. Very blessed. Doing a good job, man. Thank you. We had come back to New Zealand and we were trying to discern, was God calling us to ministry here in New Zealand, or was He calling us to China, back to China? And so I thought I would do something really reasonable. I would put out a fleece. And so we put our house and our boat on the market. And we said, God, whatever sells, we will know what you want us to do. If the boat sells, we know we're not to go back to China. We're to stay in New Zealand and I'm to train for pastoral ministry here. If the house sells, we know that you will want us to go back to China. You'll know what happened, eh? What happened? On the same day, they both sold. This is what God does. We think we can control God. We think that we can set God up so that He will perform like a trained panda bear. God is not to be tamed. A God cannot be directed. He directs us. God's got such a wonderful sense of humor. What did I have to do after this? My fleeces were burnt. I had to lean closer into Jesus. I had to listen more carefully for His voice. God blew apart that constructed fleece. This phrase, the next picture, thanks Matthew, it comes from Scripture. The story comes from the book of Judges. It tells about a man called Gideon. God had told him that he's going to win a mighty battle. He'd heard the voice of God speak plainly. But Gideon doesn't quite believe that God has spoken correctly. So he checks. He puts out fleeces. He puts out a fleece at night. And he says, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I know what you're saying is true. And God, by His grace, He does just that. By His grace. Still Gideon's like, I don't know if I really want to do this. Is it true? All right, we'll try it again. This time, we'll flip it over. The fleece will be dry and the ground will be wet. Okay, that'll take a miracle. again, God, by his grace, answers his prayer. Go read the rest of the story. It's an interesting story. Find it in Judges. It's a big book, Judges. I'm going to leave it open for you. You can find out where it is. God is so patient. So patient with us. So patient with me. This fleece, I don't think it was God's idea. He'd already told what was required. I want to suggest that fleeces are a human construct, more likened to communicating with an unknown spirit. Even more so for us today. Not only do we have the Spirit with us, we have the Spirit within us. This way of communicating, fleeces, it's like sending a smoke signal in a digital age. That's the difference. God is with us. He's within us. He's talking. This past week, Zoe, my daughter, she's in China. Zoe needed some money. It's what daughters need. Sending money overseas, this process can be difficult. I remember from my trading days that to send money overseas, sometimes you've got to go through this incredibly long process, a SWIFT code, banking, 20 digits long. It's just complicated. I started that process. Started jumping online, finding different ways to send money, and I sent money, and then the money came back into my account, and oh, what a hassle. It doesn't have to be that way. I picked up the phone. I phoned a friend. Immediately, my daughter had money. If I can do that for my daughter with one phone call to the right person, what can God do for his daughters? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that we treat God like a credit card sugar daddy. But equally, don't treat him like a loan shark with criminal intermediaries. He is your Father. He is present by his Spirit. Not on your ear via a cell phone, but in your heart, present with you. How often do we go ahead with our own plans and then pray that God will bless those? God, if you do this, I will know. God, if this happens, I will talk to my friend, my neighbor, about you. How often do we place these constructs between us and the Spirit? Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. Often, I think we know what and where God is inviting us to join him. But we are afraid. Do you remember that 2 weeks ago Stephen preached that one of the reasons the Holy Spirit has been given to us is to make us bold so that we can walk in step with the Spirit? In some places this risk is a physical risk. For us here in New Zealand, however, typically it's not physical. Yet the risk, as we perceive it, is no less debilitating when we allow fear to speak louder than the comfort of God. Fear of rejection. What will people think of me? Fear of missing out. But I really want that new car, that new house, new shoes. Fear of intimacy with God. I don't know if I want to give my whole life to Jesus. Sunday's enough of a sacrifice. We need the Spirit to truly do God's mission, to make it possible for others to know God, who is making all things new. This is why we have been given the Spirit. As Jesus himself said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." New slide, thank you. Because, this is why Jesus received the Spirit. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. This past week, we have sat as an eldership and reviewed the areas that you sense God might be calling you to stand. So a few weeks ago, we had an evening here where you could come and you could share and you could write down those things that you think God might be inviting us as a church to be involved in. It shouldn't be any surprise. Much of what was written down was connected to the poor. Echoes what we've just read. So what next? What next? If you have any hope of these ideas coming to pass, what is the next step? As you wait, are you praying? Are you waiting on the Spirit? The eldership, they're a very narrow conduit for every missional experience that God might be wanting to enact through MBC. If you hope that we as a church staff and eldership will bring it to pass, I'm sorry to disappoint, but you will be disappointed. As you wait, are you praying? Are you waiting on the Spirit? What we do for you as a leadership is look for people of similar visions and seek to connect you. As you wait, are you praying? Are you waiting on the Spirit? What we will do is to continue to prompt you and encourage you to respond to the words that He, God, has spoken to you. As you wait, are you praying? Are you waiting on the Spirit? You are the church, not the eldership per se. As an eldership, our job is to resource and pray for you in your responding to His mission. Our job is to do this, to open the Word of God and show how He, God, works. He works by His Spirit in everyday people's lives, to undertake extraordinary things. But, Scripture tells us it will come at considerable cost, considerable risk. If you only take on those things that can be achieved by us as a church, our resources. Oh, what a disappointing reflection of the kingdom of God. For what people will encounter would actually only be a human kingdom. No. We want people to encounter the new living kingdom. The one where the old has passed away and the new is coming. Hudson Taylor was an early missionary into China. He said, unless there is the element of extreme risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. There is no need for the Spirit. This is why we pray. This is why we wait on the Spirit, so we are emboldened to take the step that is risky, the step that reveals the new kingdom. that scripture. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. From Ezekiel 32:26. We need a soft, responsive heart to the things that God is saying, so that when we hear them, we believe them. We don't have to put out a fleece. We just respond and obey. Let's take a moment right now. Let's take a moment and wait on the Spirit. What is He saying to you? Let's listen. God, I believe you're speaking. I believe you've spoken. I think there are many people here who have heard you speak and invite them to go to places and to do things and to say things. I know for myself, sometimes I've been afraid. And so I've put constructs, conditions, made you jump through hoops for me. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. Remember me, said Jesus. Whenever you come together, drink of this cup, break this bread, remember me. I think when we dwell on Christ, when we remember Christ, it drives away our fear. Become more aware of His Spirit. Have the last slide. I was there. Great, thank you. Oh, one more, please. This back one. Yeah, I'm going to read a poem. And when I pause, I'm going to get you in your own language, just to say, Christ is coming to make all things new. Among the poor, among the proud, amongst the persecuted, among the privileged, Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the public place, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall, Christ is coming to make all things new. With a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with a burning love, Christ is coming to make all things new. That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the powerful might stumble, and the hidden might be seen, Christ is coming to make all things new. Let's turn to Christ. Let's recognize that it's He that makes all things new. It's He that makes us new and gives us a boldness through His Spirit to respond to the things that He is saying to us. Christ, You died for us. You broke Your own body for us so that we might know freedom. Lord Jesus, give us a boldness so that we too are prepared to be broken. Give us Your Spirit in such measures that we are a transformed people. Can I invite the Māori Ropu, if you'd like to come and help pass out the communion, please? That'd be great. Thank you. Kia ora. If you'd like to hold your communion, and we will take it together. Kia ora, Marcy. Body of Christ, broken for you. His blood, poured out for you. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you have done everything required that enables us to bring about your kingdom, not our kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. Thank you that you've set us free. You've given us your Spirit. We remember all that you've done for us. Amen. Let's eat the body of Christ. Took the cup. He said, drink this. Drink this. He is your healer. He is the one that forgives you. He is the one that restores you. He is the one that empowers you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.